Blog Talk
Welcome
Radio.
To the show. Welcome to the show. Tonight's episode is kind of a reprise of what we did a year ago with Steve Bannon's involvement with Brexit. But Cambridge Analytica has a parent company that was called SLC that was involved in many elections, including military campaigns in the Middle East, in which they dropped flyers and tried to influence young Muslims from joining the Al-Qaeda. So, in a sense, they're a marketing group that tries to influence people in political situations from making one choice or another. There's also some roots to it, which I discovered by watching a Netflix movie called The Great Hack. And here's the premise I'm just going to tell you briefly. Nigel Farage was a huge influence in the Brexit campaign, in which they used Cambridge Analytica and false information into influencing English people to get out of the EU. And that's just one aspect of it. Wade's call dropped, but he's going to have to call back in. Then, Steve Bannon was on the board of directors. The organization targeted persuadable voters also in the American election 2016 election, whom they felt they had an impact on. They had access to target people's friends on Facebook. Like, let's say they would pick one person who they thought was persuadable. Then they had access to each one of those people's friends who had a common interest, and they pervaded their private inboxes and messaging systems. They attempted to discredit the Hillary Clinton campaign, and one of the CEOs of Cambridge Analytica came up with the Crooked Hillary campaign and the handcuffs as the imagery depicting the two O's in Crooked. Two key employees, Christopher Wiley and Brittany Kaiser, became the whistleblowers on that, and we will highlight each one of these individuals on our episode. We will also discuss the worldwide impact of this type of data intrusion and what it means. Now, I do have to cut to a song for a minute so I can get Wade back on the air. Don, just hold a few seconds. Thank you. Important thing that I discovered from watching that movie, The Great Hack, there were two things. Okay, one of the employees, Brittany Kaiser, used to work for the Obama campaign, and she helped market the social media strategy called Obama for America, or OFA, and they were the ones who really used social media as an outreach for the first major political campaign in America on the presidential level. But then she got recruited by Alexander Nix. He's an English guy who came from a wealthy family that had ties to the East Indian Company. Well, he was the CEO of Cambridge Analytica, and he recruited her for surveys and to ask questions to voters on Facebook. And the biggest breach, I guess, was that, see, in England, they do have privacy laws regarding people's data and data intrusion. But in America, it was pretty broad-based, and they didn't have that type of situation where you could go after one law and they were breaking specific laws. But they were putting out false advertising, first with the Ted Cruz campaign in order to beat Donald Trump in Iowa, and then later the Trump campaign specifically was hired by Cambridge Analytica to distort the election. Well, her and Christopher Wiley, like I said, became whistleblowers, and they probed into the British media and got attention regarding it, and there were indictments that went down in England over the Brexit campaign and also data breaches and privacy with English voters. With it, I'm going to pull Don in. Good evening, Don. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. I'm kind of tired working today. I'll be working tomorrow at 6 again. So I just am trying to make sure that I get enough information and rest, because this is going to start becoming a huge time of year and the next 18 months, and then I have no clue how this country is going to look. All these liars and cheats and thieves are going to either continue to be in power, or we've got to vote everybody out.
What changes have you seen in the last few weeks that would make you make a statement like that?
There are no changes. I'm just getting prepared for probably, again, the biggest fight in the United States' life. we've got so many people on the take, it's not even funny. And then if anybody who gets elected has an opportunity to gain massive amounts of money, both legally and illegally. And I'm working with the school board here and things like that, the county commission, and they've all got ties to chairmen and elected officials and development agencies and other educational agencies, and the money's just flowing. It's flying out of the system, and it's not going to the kids or proper development or infrastructure or voting, you know, rights or anything that it should be going to. It's strictly going to people's pockets and making this economy a travesty, because ultimately all this artificial money is being stolen from the federal government, from the government, and it's adding to the national debt. And our national debt is going to be so outrageous that our grandkids, they won't even be able to buy anything. And that's where the socialism comes in, because
I do want to make a comment about that, because about a year ago, it might have been 13 months ago, we did do a show on Cambridge Analytica, but I didn't really understand the impact of that time, because it was shrouded by the influence of the Russian people who were interested in our election too. The main thing that they discovered, I'm just going to mention the Russian thing for a minute, because that's not the center of the discussion tonight, but you are talking about money influence and people being bought out. So I would like to say that the first thing is that while they were unearthing all this Cambridge analytical stuff and data collection, England, a Guardian reporter named Carol Cadwalladr, she did a 1 to 2 year investigation on Cambridge Analytica. She did discover that there were Russian servers linked to the Cambridge Analytica data, but that's not what the center of our discussion is. I'm just going to read this clip from our show last year, and then I'm going to discuss a couple more key points. So there was a key person named Alexander Nix who was leading the campaign on the Brexit thing, and he was trying to influence British voters through scare tactics, like saying if Turkey was going to join the EU, that there would be 700,000 Turks coming to England to penetrate their culture, and they were doing all these kinds of scare tactics. Well, the Guardian's Carol Cadwalladr, she had a role in unearthing what Brexit led her to Russian connections and the Trump campaign. She said British investigators are now working with the FBI to find out how the American elections were tainted. Breitbart News also had a hand in trying to influence more conservative voters into a definite decision over exiting the EU. Robert Mercer, who was a billionaire hedge fund owner, was the primary financial supporter of the Trump campaign. So even though they bitch about Hillary, a lot of their money came from overseas. Robert Mercer was a deep investor in Cambridge Analytica who breached privacy data for thousands of Britons. Bannon was the vice president of Cambridge Analytica and actually came up with the name. Trump, during one of his effed up rah-rah campaigns before he was elected, had Nigel Farage right on the stage, another main proponent of Brexit, saying he was the main contributor to Brexit. If Brexit can happen in Britain, I can get elected, Trump said right on the stage. Robert Mercer funded Bannon, who enabled Farage to have influence. Cambridge Analytica also gave money to Luke Oil in Russia and promoted seminars like manipulating foreign elections. So Trump knew a lot of rich people all along, and there were some, even some Greek people I read tonight that were sinking money into his campaign and trying to ensure that he got elected. My only premise all along is that he thought, I still think that ultimately each voter is responsible for their own choice, no matter what sidebar the ads say on Facebook. And do you agree with me?
There are no voters. We are one of the lowest voting turnout countries in the world, whether it's a democracy or a socialist state or whatever, you know, theocracy, kleptocracy, oligarchy. We don't vote in America. So that whole premise is...
Yes. Well, Wade is back on the line, by the way. We do have, okay, on a bad election day, 50% of the electorate vote. On a good election day, like Obama's first time, it was 60 to 75%.
No, you're wrong. On a good election day, it's 50% or 60%. And that's an anomaly. On a good election day, it's barely at 35%, maybe 35%. Most places, it's more like 25%. But the main thing about it is that I'm fighting. That's one of the things I'm doing that I was talking about, is that I'm fighting and I'm winning the data collection fight, if you will. I was able to stop slow our WCSD, Washoe County School District, from continuing to feed third party and fourth parties with student data. And
well, that's only going to dent the election about 2 to 5%.
No, well, it's I'm not talking
having a third party person.
I'm talking about our student data. I don't care about these idiots on the internet. They're all dumber than snot. Talking about some of these reports that we're talking about, you know, you talk about fake news. That's exactly where it comes from. The internet makes people.
I know, John, but just
times.
Because you. Okay, Wade's call dropped again. So you know this is bullshit, man. So I'm gonna cut to a song. I gotta call him back. Okay.
Well, I just wanted to talk about the.
Yeah, you can talk. You can talk while I call him.
All right. Well, basically, the British model of data security is a much better model than we've got here, than Facebook
and
Google, who lie to us, who always talk about the fact that their systems are secure. And there was just an article in today, I believe, or yesterday, saying that actually all these phones, iPhones particularly, have back doors, and so none of this is secure. I've got just brand new notifications that I may have been an attempted victim of hacking on my phone and on my computer. So, you know, I luckily don't put anything on here. Most of my information is handwritten or something that is voice communicated. But I'm trying to stop all of the data collection offenses. I'm succeeding after God, who knows how many years, 8 years, 10 years of stomping my feet and crying and throwing a hissy fit. So the people are
John, I'm here back. I don't know what the deal with Wade is, but
no, he's probably in an airport or someplace that's got.
He's having reception trouble.
Right.
He just texted back.
Right.
I know. I do want to say one thing, Don. It's not that I necessarily agree wholeheartedly with the documentary I watched tonight, But the two people that were actually involved with Cambridge Analytica and were employees said that potentially civil rights were breached and that people were targeted and they had multifaceted ways of trying to influence those people who were on social media a lot. But ultimately, the vote belongs to the people who are going into the poll booth. But the thing is they did show a secretive videotape of these four top members of Cambridge Analytica who were influencing it. And they did create a whole campaign around Crooked Hillary making up a bunch of lies. Like just inflating everything she's done to a maximum level. So that did create a problem, Don, because even if she is guilty of some things, she's not guilty of everything that they were proposing.
Sure she is.
No, she's not. Four dead people in Benghazi, a couple bad decisions, but she's not as corrupt as Bill.
No.
Anyways, Albert's on the line, so I'm going to invite him in. Just a second. My computer's... Hi, Albert. How's it going tonight?
Oh, not much.
Yeah, we started... I did watch the movie The Great Hack, which you probably watched on Netflix. It's a documentary. Did you watch it?
The Green Hack?
No. The Great Hack.
Oh, The Great Hack.
Yeah.
Can you give me a quick summary?
Say that again?
Can you do a quick summary and maybe refresh my mind?
Okay. The Green Hack is about... They have two people who are investigators. One's Carol Caldwalder from The Guardian, and I don't remember the other guy's name, but he tried to connect the dots with what Cambridge Analytica did with Facebook. Facebook put up a false – they allowed Cambridge Analytica to put up a false political advertising campaign influencing – and probing individuals' data collection services and going into our private data, including our private messaging on Facebook, and target ads for people they thought were persuadable voters. So they did data mining, data brokerage, and data analysis on 87 million Facebook users. They've also done it on several campaigns around the world, not just our election, but in places like India, Africa, and places like Thailand. They closed their operations in 2018 because of the data scandal, and they lost their entire credibility. It was owned by the family of Robert Mercer, the American hedge fund manager, who supported Donald Trump, and also Alexander Nix, a rich English guy. He really was involved with getting Trump elected. In 2015, the company performed data analysis services for Ted Cruz, who ended up winning Iowa. And in 2016, they mined data for Donald Trump and leave.eu, the main organization that was trying to get England out of the EU deal. So does that ring a bell?
No, I didn't watch it.
Well, you would like it because it's right up your alley. Hi, Wade. Can you hear us now? Can you hear us, Wade? If you can't hear us, Wade, we understand. In March of 2018, there was multiple media outlets that broke the news of their business practices, and it showed a private video of them on how they created a Crooked Hillary campaign, including using the handcuffs of the two O's in Crooked as an image and inflating stories about Hillary Clinton to help get Donald Trump elected. Then Channel 4 News in America uncovered investigative videos showing Alexander Nix boasting about prostitution, sting operations, and honey traps to discredit politicians who it conducted opposition research. In other words, a honey trap is where you bring a woman in to seduce a man to try to discredit that person and then use the information against him. It's mainly a woman seducing a man, not vice versa. So that's kind of what we were starting to talk about tonight, and Don was pitching in some other stuff about his local politics.
I was calling all internet users idiots, so just say it like it is.
Well, Don, I wrote on my page that I'm not influenced by advertising and data, and even if they tried to probe me, there's only certain people that they call persuadable voters, and I'm not one of those people who could be moved very easily.
My concern is not so much the content as it is the privacy, lack of the theft. As you know, I've worked all my life for most of, you know, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and freedom of privacy concept. And right now people are voluntarily giving away their privacy. And I don't want to see the most vulnerable, which are the kids, involved in that theft. That's my concern. I just know that the people who are reading some of this stuff, that's where Trump can validly say that it's fake news, because a lot of it is. And,
right, and
that's,
Wade
that's
and Albert, for you guys joining the show late, well, Wade tried, but the personal data, okay, just let me state this one more fact so it might make more sense. The personal data of 87 million Facebook users were acquired through 270,000 Facebook users who used an app called This Is Your Digital Life. By giving this third-party app permission to acquire data in 2015, they also gave the app access to information on all their friends. So I have 644 friends. So let's say they tap me, they could get into everybody's profile, find out what their job was, try to mold certain ads for that. This resulted in 87 million users and Cambridge Analytica accessing their data, breaching Facebook's term by their terms of service, and giving the data to CA. I'm just going to call them CA now. But because of all the exposure by the news and the English people, the Guardian, and all those kind of people, they did file bankruptcy and insolvency, and Alexander Nix was charged with criminal charges because of the two whistleblowers in the company. Does anybody else have something more to say?
We have I have a billion things to say, but I won't say them. Why would we let the globalization of the world affect us so greatly in our elections? That's the thing that I don't understand. We've got the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Africans, everybody and their mom, and our biggest problems are here in America. We've got so many subversives, white supremacists, other people of racists.
Well, we can tie that into
atonement.
What happened this weekend. Wade, you're back on the air. I hope you can hear us, but if you can't, you can. Can you hear us? Well, you brought up a good point, Don, because The last 4 weeks in the news, I just want to make one more statement to wrap up this other topic. Trump used billionaires and people in high positions in Europe to influence his campaign willingly. He had willing donors in that area. It wasn't just data intrusion. But I'm glad you brought that up, Don, because we are a screwed-up country in the sense that once again in the news this weekend when there was a mass shooting in Midland, Odessa, Texas area where 7 people definitely died, the word of domestic terrorism is now becoming the buzzword for all these mass killers who happen to be white, but they also have been the primary people causing these things and trying to draw more distinctive racial and political lines every time they shoot.
And there's no reason for it, because hate is a whole lot of work, a whole lot of stress on most people. But there's a large segment in America that hate is a second nature. It's how they their modus operandi, their daily lives, and those are the people who need to be deported, sent back to Norway. We've got to really dig them out because they're destroying America.
Well, I'm gonna let I'm going to have Albert respond to you on that, but I think when the central dialogue of our political divisiveness is maybe there's 5 channels you can touch upon in every city that there's huge rants by people like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, where they're promoting this kind of undignified hatred and division between the political cleavage. That's one of the things promoting hate. But then as we talked about last week when I told you guys I was watching a documentary on National Geographic about a white guy who got deprogrammed from a white hate group and he had all his tattoos removed. It can be a special indoctrination through a group too. Do you have a comment, Albert?
No, I'm good.
Okay, being the fact that you're Latino and that you were involved in the Bernie campaign,
that's the whole point, is that the Jewish people don't understand completely when these radicalized whites are running around going, Jews do not replace us, and they're on the radical right, like a Mark Levin and Zuckerberg and those guys. They don't understand that their numbers won't allow them to win because they're losing population too. So both of those races, that there should be a schism there, that the Jews don't understand that the whites, those who admit that they're white supremacists, are their enemies.
Well, did you hear Trump's comment last week on the Jews? That if they don't vote for him, they're being disloyal?
Right, and that's one of the most ridiculous things in the world when, he reveres Mein Kampf and some of the other tactics by the Germans back in the day. So,
part of it is because he has a Jew in his family, but another reason is.
But that's a brother.
The other reason is because
son-in-law.
He proposed to move from Haifa to Jerusalem of our diplomacy center, which was already mandated 15 years earlier. But anyways, I just want to read one thing. President Trump doubled down Wednesday on his remarks that American Jews who vote for Democrats are disloyal to Israel. In my opinion, you vote for a Democrat, you're being disloyal to the Jewish people and you're being disloyal to Israel. And only weak people would do that. So Everybody knows that the Jewish people are tied strongly to the Democratic Party long before he came along.
Not with Netanyahu there. But, you know, with Qatar and, you know, it sees how sensitive he is. Jared Kushner had that building 666 Park Avenue, and he had to get some financing. And it was just on today, and Trump couldn't get it from Qatar. So instead, he used his Saudi influence to threaten Qatar with war. And we've got one of the biggest airfields, air bases in the Middle East in Qatar. So he's going to actually push to destroy his own, the American, you know, property, American land in Qatar. That's how childish he is.
John mentioned that building before in New York City. I just found in the article that Jewish voters since 1968 have voted on the average 71% of Democrats, and that's the percentage that went for Hillary Clinton in 2016, and they only make up 3% of the voting population in our country.
People don't know. They have such short memories. They're just apes. They don't know that Donald Trump was a long-time Democrat. He was a Democrat most all of his life. He only turned Republican a few years ago. And so people don't remember that. And that's so sad that they're jumping on it. And he doesn't even know how to spell God. So I can't even imagine how these evangelicals can be on his side. That's because they're neo-evangelicals. They're actually part of the group of the devils. But, you know, these people are just, they're so upside down and backwards that's why I say that I'm tired, frustrated. It's not just from work. It's from trying to understand where these people are coming from, because they've got no brains at all. And I'm talking about all species here.
Part of the reason why this debate got ignited is because of Ilhan Omar's comments on Israel recently. And technically, in March, the House of Representatives passed a resolution to condemn any congressional comments on anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, racism, and other forms of bigotry. But Omar criticized Israel, but the Republicans wanted to pass a resolution that just singled out anti-Semitism because they felt like Omar's words were derogatory towards that nation.
Yeah, well, I mean, derogatory and saying her truth without cussing and inflaming someone personally attacking other people is a little different than, some people that turns out that they have a condemnation or even are making resolutions. That's a little different. And that's, they are Muslim, but they should not have necessarily been left out of Jerusalem or Israel, because Israel has a ton of Muslims there. And so treating our, congresswomen like that is actually hypocrisy. And it's really against God's way. And so, but they don't, again, care about God. They just care about themselves and money. Money is God. And so we've got to live with this for now. But luckily, a lot of people are dying off. Those old curmudgeons are going away. And there is some hope that the newer generations can get along and we can go towards a more common goal. But as long as you look at the internet every day and play war games, we're not going to get to that point. These kids are thinking they're invincible, because if you play a game every day, Mortal Kombat or something like that every day, and you can die and come back to life, what are they thinking? They can come out and they can shoot, seven people and kill seven people and injure 21, and they'll be coming back to life any day now.
I agree.
But, you know,
I would like to bring up another issue, Don and Albert.
I just wanted to mention something.
Well, go ahead.
We do need to take care of getting rid of these AK-47s or whatever they're called. You know, the military, virtually to a person, says that they're killing machines and they don't need to be in regular people's hands. So that's something that we need to really look at. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say right before the show started, I sent you guys the topic that we'd be discussing, and John came back with, I'm sure you guys saw the text, at least I don't know if Albert did because he's not in the group text because he doesn't like group text. But John shot back with, what is DARPA, D-A-R-P-A, does anybody know?
Oh,
that was
DARPA is the American Technology Field of Military and everything. Basically, anything that
Defense
the government...
Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. Well, basically, he was talking about the origin of Facebook, which started in 2004, and that he said something about Mark Zuckerberg getting some kind of contract with DARPA around the same time. But I was talking about Cambridge Analytica, what they did between 2015 and 2016. But then he made a slap at me about saying that I'm part of the deep state and I'd never sell out Mark Zuckerberg. Like, I don't like how he puts words in my mouth, so I told him if he's going to talk like that on the show, then he can't call in.
Yeah. And forget Facebook. Think about Google. Google at one point owned every robotic industry, but then they sold them out, and they only kept the highest, most advanced robotic company, Google, which do compete in the DARPA challenges, which a lot of other robotic industries do. Companies do also compete in a DARPA challenge, which, you know, has a robot come in and, you know, drive a car, walk out, open a door, drill a hole, you know, walk over some stairs and whatnot and do a couple challenges. Yes. And that's by DARPA. Then they fund the highest, you know, for the winner, they get some money, right? But they fund the ones they think that are probable to them in the technology of robotics. So they're very interested in that. But yeah, Google and DARPA are very close in sharing technology and whatnot, very, very close.
Well, that's one of the things that was discussed in the movie that I watched. They said that, see, Cambridge Analytica is tied to a group called SCL, which did, I don't know what you want to call it, but like in places like Afghanistan and Iraq, they did propaganda campaigns, like drop leaflets and flyers off in their own native languages, trying to influence Muslims not to join extremism organizations. But DARPA, John claims that they had some kind of ties to Facebook funding in Facebook's infancy.
Well, yeah, DARPA does fund a lot of... DARPA does fund a lot of companies that are they would see their benefits in any fundings that they, you know, that help the government and military or even public relations. Facebook has a big power over public relations. And check this out. So like Google.
Yeah, I just looked it up. You're right, Albert.
The number one robotic high advanced technology is the name is Boston Dynamics. Boston Dynamics is still owned by Google, and they do compete really high in the DARPA challenges. So that's, by the way, I forgot to mention. So that's Boston Dynamics.
The other thing is, you know, Facebook has almost unlimited power because I'm just going to read one thing from the DARPA website. They published the latest announcements about the agency on our news page and shares them via Facebook and Twitter. Like, did you guys know, and I'm pretty sure you know this, like every box of cereal you buy or every box of Ritz crackers or even if you buy, like, cheese, just about on every package of food there's a Facebook and Twitter link to what their page is. Like, Facebook and Twitter are the social hubs for any type of advertising. They have incredible power. And I'm pretty sure Mark Zuckerberg sold out on some levels. And he does appear honest and forthright. But he lied in those congressional hearings on Cambridge Analytica. They had a special team that worked with that company that molded the type of data collection they were trying to go after. And Zuckerberg lied poker face straight to Congress saying that he wasn't aware of their full intent when they allowed them to infiltrate their social media site.
Just look at this. When it comes to social media, I mean, and that is public relations, and governments, big, they're really big on public relations. But anyways, just take a look at this. Remember InfoWars, John from InfoWars, when he got removed from Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all of the mainstream social media networks, all the big ones, he got removed from all those ones at the same time. That tells you something how connectedly they are and how powerful they are.
I just want to read one thing. Facebook and Google's business models evoked a DARPA project in the origins of both of their companies. And just a minute. I don't know, there was really strong connections. So I'm just going to read one sentence. On the heels of Zuckerberg's numerous government testimonies and sustained criticism over his Cambridge Analytica scandal, the author of this Times column must... Oh, just a minute. Okay, I don't want to talk about it tonight because I don't... All I'm going to say is that the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, which is called DARPA, proposed mining vast amounts of American data to identify potential national security threats. The virtual grand database was to belong to the DOD, which would be used to identify behavior patterns that would be able to predict emerging terrorist threats. Well, funny how there's tons of people on Facebook, like that one guy who shot in southern Texas 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they never seem to catch the obvious people who are posting shit.
Well, the problem is the DEA and the FBI are only looking for those of color in potential terrorists. And the only ones they really care about, the ones that affect the government, of course, are individual ones, you know. Threatening individuals are not a big deal.
Yeah, I'm going to read the next sentence and see if Don and you agree with it. So DARPA is voluntarily participating in a dystopian scenario envisioned 16 years ago with each bit of data handed to companies like Facebook and Google. But in this system, private companies are our information repositories, leaving us to reckon with the consequences of a world that endows corporations with the kind of data once deemed too outrageous for the government. The Total Information Awareness Project, run by Admiral John Poindexter, it was designed to aggregate signals generated through other programs to increase DARPA's Information Awareness Office. This program focuses on a range of capabilities, including information analysis, decision support tools, language translation, data mining, and pattern recognition. I'm going to stop there. I don't think they're going to find any killers through this methodology. What do you guys think?
Well, just take a look at this. I mean, right after knocked down the Twin Towers of 9/11, they got 3,000 new FBI recruitments rather quick. They were growing really fast. I mean, and the new, and they were really pushing forward towards terrorists. You know, I mean, it's like they got a, like they got a big permission for that, you know. And, of course, DARPA, you know, make sure the technology are up to date on all the DA's, FBI's computers and whatnot. You know, and it's not just DARPA. I mean, like I said, DARPA and Google, you know, Facebook, they share technology and information. And just look at this. I'm trying to remember. Okay, look at the way we vote, right? The way we vote right now, our voting program right now, that software was created by Windows. And, you know, Bill Gates, Windows, you know. And, you know, they own the big, how you say, billionaires. They don't just buy politicians. They don't just buy politicians. They also engrave their technology and their product into our political system, even the way we vote. Like I said, Windows software is running the way we vote right now.
I agree. I do think there is a need for some government surveillance on social media, but it would be helpful if they could narrow down those, I'm trying to think of a word that I can use, like those, let's just say those distinctive words to find killers, like even a guy killing his girlfriend or something that small, because it doesn't seem, I know that some criminal investigations are solved through that, but unless a killer or potential killer gives away certain information, like that one 20-year-old white killer did in the El Paso Walmart shooting, he did give away certain bits of information, it's still not going to be effective.
Yeah, no, that's not a professional freaking, you know, killer or whatnot. I mean, you hear about these mass shootings a lot, and I've been hearing a lot about mass shootings in the mainstream media. Mass shooting here, mass shooting there. Even if it's not in America, they will mainstream it in American TV like crazy. You know, and you're watching it, you almost think it's happening in America until you really investigate and see it with somewhere else. But anyways, it's crazy the way they're advertising it so much in the mainstream media. But they'll even tie like if two people get shot, they'll say, oh, massive shooting, you know, huge life loss, a lot, you know, it was catastrophic, it was the worst thing ever that happened, and two people just got shot. You know, it's like, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous.
Well, maybe
yeah,
nobody
I think,
mentioned...
go ahead, Don.
Really quick to say, if it's more than one person that gets shot, it's called a massive shooting. They call it a massive shooting if two or more people get shot. So that's how it is.
Well, they're using only till recently, though, did you know that, Albert, they changed the terminology of white killers to domestic terrorism, and now it's being called white domestic terrorism. It's only recently, like it's been happening since Dylan Klebold and the Columbine shooting, but now only recently are they using a race to identify those types of killing.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, if you look at the 90s, you know, it's always been the same. I mean, it's especially how they looked at black people as gangsters, you know, and like, okay, look, you mean, because I remember watching TVs in the 90s, and it's still relatively the same, and this is how it is, okay? When a black guy, you know, shoots some people up, it's usually like gang related or something, right? When a white guy shoots a bunch of people, like, it's usually that he has a mental illness or something, you know, something. You know, and usually if a Mexican, usually the drug warlord, right? Drug dealer or something, you know, a Mexican shot him up or something, you know what I mean? And it's always this stereotype. It just really, it's just so invented in our mainstream media so hard that it's still even alive and well and kicking today. You know what I mean? You hear.
I hear ya.
Yeah, well, we're trying to do is, right, is combine all of these things together. Cambridge Analytica, the crookedness of both parties forever, and the race relations that pit one race against another, they're all devised to be divergent. That's versions in order to...
I hear you.
Sorry, you guys. I had a blowout from another video.
The diversions to take our minds away from all the money that's being siphoned off from governmental agencies and other places. And, you know, this is the tax reform joke is just for Donald Trump. It's so that he can have tax breaks on his properties. Because in many instances, he was starting, you know, he and Jared Kushner and the Kushner family were losing money on properties. So, you know, these are things that he has devised to help himself. All of it is against the law. And once he's out of office, then we'll have an opportunity. But we need to keep him in office right now because he is tearing up the party. The party is actually feeding on itself, and it's a really strange thing to see because if it goes too much longer, like I said earlier, we're going to lose democracy. But the Chinese, you know, they own part of Trump Tower. They own the Saudis own part of the other properties, and he's got all kinds of people who are in Mar-a-Lago, and you know. This is he is a travesty, and he's making all you people, all the you know the people who don't know, he's just using them as puppets and laughing, their joke.
I do want to say a thing while both John and Ben are off the air. Like they keep claiming that he's trying to drain the swamp and purge the corruption in Washington, but I do think Donald Trump has an air of sincerity about him as far as wanting to see his vision of America come to fruition. But I do think that within his own realm, he's corrupt because he has too much of a we-them philosophy. And I don't think he's necessarily on the take for money, but he is more concerned about his influence and who respects them, and that discolors his vision on what could really be morally accomplished in this country.
No comment.
I'm just saying, like, he's trying to promote an air of purity and sense of order that he wants to return to the country, but his whole personification of what he represents is somewhat outlandish and not normal. Like, nobody wants to emulate Donald Trump, who's normal.
Well, that's because he's God. He thinks he's God. You're not getting it, Jane. The man has never had a penniless day in his life. He's not like regular people, and he knows it. He thinks he can subdue and coerce anybody in the world, he's got you, dude. I mean, there's not a empathetic.
He doesn't have me duped.
He doesn't have an empathetic bone in his body. Everything he does is for money, and he will kill, and just like everybody else in that kind of position, in a heartbeat, if somebody says something against him. Like I said, you know, he sucks Putin and Xi's dick, and then everybody looks at him, and he's not communist. He's communist as hell. The man is a complete socialist communist. And he's and people don't understand that. And if you think that he cares about what you think of him, then you got a real long way to go. Because he doesn't give
a shit.
Well,
I don't think he cares, but he does not have command of what each system represents. So, no, I wouldn't call him a communist or socialist, even though he has allegiance to Putin. I would call him someone who is seeking to be accepted and admired.
What is
and
what
he's
is
looking for power brokers that will align with him. But he's already alienated so many leaders, it doesn't really matter.
He hasn't. They're all in bed in Greece and on the Epstein Island in a man orgy.
I think Putin has a distinctive vision for his own country. That's really nothing like Donald Trump. He's just fanning the flames.
But it's communist. It's communist, Jane. Okay, no comment.
Okay, I think we should start.
What is communist?
To tell you the truth, you guys, we've been going an hour, and I have a bad sore throat. So I'm going to make another show for Tuesday night.
Communism is 1% owning 99%. That's communism. That's what Donald Trump wants. He wants his own 1% people who can't stand him, by the way. The only reason that he's in there is because he bribes everybody. But and that's why he, the Koch brothers, and he's been at odds with some of the other corporate leaders, but because they can't stand his guts. The way he works is this a New York mafia kingpin, and that's what he is. And so don't let it trip. Don't let it, don't let it blind you. This is not a man who cares about the country or who cares about individuals or who cares about being altruistic to anything but himself and his family. All right, that's my conclusion.
Okay, Albert, do you have a conclusion? Hello? I'm
going to
do my conclusion.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Let's not forget our prayer for the people in Hurricane Dorian. Hurricane Dorian. Don't forget
right.
about them on the East
yeah.
Coast.
Yeah. I used to know someone named Dave Dorian at the LA Times.
Right. And, I'd just like to say real quick, what you said, 10 minutes ago, that Donald Trump's corrupted. Well, I don't think Donald Trump is corrupted. I think Donald Trump is the one that builds corruption, that controls corruption, that makes corruption. He's not really corrupted himself. He's the one that's making the corruption. And, and you look at him when he ran for president, right? And almost all the Republicans that are running against him have already got money at one point from him. Even his opposition, Hillary Clinton, got money from Donald Trump. Literally, Donald Trump's money just flows around like nobody's business because he's just used to buying out people, and he's used to corrupting other people. And another thing, on what Don said, Donald Trump will kill anybody. He said that, and that's actually in a way. He'll kill somebody that doesn't agree with him. And in a way, that's kind of true. If you even look at the other past presidents, Barack Obama or, George, what's it called? Bush. Bush. I think it was George Bush. I can't remember the name correctly. But anyways, before Barack Obama. Anyways, if you look at that, right? During the Middle East, when we started our drone program and I was flying a bunch of drones in the Middle East, we have dropped a couple bombs accidentally on some independent media stations in the Middle East. Not once, not twice, but three times, you know, on three separate occasions, of course. But yes, it has happened before. And so we die. So yeah, the American government has bombed other media stations they don't agree with, and they accidentally do it, of course. So they say they accidentally do it, but you know, it's that's another way to just silence people too, and a more convenient way too. Instead of just sending assassins, private assassins to go in there, I mean, you already have the drones out there. Why not just drop a bomb there?
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, you guys. I'm doing another show Tuesday night, so I'm going to try to corral John back on the show after our fight. I will talk more about certain subjects. You guys can keep me abreast of the news. And thank you for joining the show. Have a great night. I'm going to end it with one of John's songs. Good night.
Alrighty, and what happened to the Cambridge Elephant?
We'll talk about it on Tuesday. Okay?
Okay. Good night.
I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall, but still you always pick me up whenever I would call. We humbly bow before you, we love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne. I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall, always pick me up whenever I will call. We humbly bow before you, we love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory, salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne. Praise and adore you. We humbly bow before.